Right. So, I just want to start by praying. Lord, I pray that the words I bring today are your words. They're not my words. I know you go before me. So everything I have to say now, I pray that this is what you want people to hear. I pray that these words spark a fire in their hearts, that something changes and that they don't just leave not getting anything. I pray that everyone here will receive something from what I have to say today. So, yeah. Right. Well, for those who don't know, I think I know most of you here, but I'm Matt. I've been here for nearly 2 decades now, since I was born. Sorry. I'm normally hiding at the back behind the sound desk, but today, a bit different. This last probably 2 years, really, God's been taking me on a journey. So what I wanted to do was share part of that journey with you today. Before I start, one thing I wanted to mention was LSM. So, Lifespring School of Ministry. I've been going to Lifespring School of Ministry since September, and it has been the best eight months of my life. Seriously, it's completely changed me. It's run by Lifespring Church in Wolverhampton. Tony, who was here last week, he's the pastor there. And their mission statement is that LSM is designed to empower believers in their walk, to walk in their identity in Christ, experience personal transformation, and live a supernatural life. And it does that. I have to say, I could do the whole 40 minutes just on LSM, but I'm going to keep that quite short. It's not only designed to do that, it does do that. I've really grown in my relationship with the Father and in my confidence in stepping out in the Spirit, as evidenced by the fact I'm stood here. Those of you who know me well know that I would never do this in my own strength. It's not where I want to be. But yeah, the thing that really confirmed this for me, I've been feeling it for some time, but it was Luana Plows gave me a word a couple of months ago at a prayer meeting. And she said that I'd been given a light and that I wasn't to hide it at the back. I wasn't to hide it under a bushel, that I was supposed to be like a city set on a hill for everyone to see. So I just, specifically that day, I'd been praying about preaching. So I really felt that was, yeah, that's the confirmation. So I sat down with Richard and said, what do you think? Can you pray? And, well, I think he got the same answer I did. So let's move on to what I'm speaking about today. It's a story of love and heartbreak, life and death, war and peace, pain and healing, betrayal and redemption. There's murders, action, romance and sex. The constant battle between good and evil, and the hero turns up in the most unlikely way imaginable to save the entire human race by sacrificing his own life. You interested? Yeah? Sounds good, doesn't it? Yeah? Well, for those of you who haven't guessed, that's the plot of the Bible. If you read through the Bible, that's what you get. It is the best story you could ever come up with. It's the most interesting, the things in there. And it's all true. Every word of it is true. That's the best thing about it. That it is the best story on the planet, and it's all true. It all happened. So the Bible is a collection of 66 books from about 40 different authors, split into two sections, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament is made up of the law, history books, poetry books, the major prophets and the minor prophets. And all of that is written and set before Jesus was born, from about 2000 BC to 0 AD. The second section is the New Testament with the Gospels, church history and the Book of Acts, Paul's letters to both churches and to individuals, the general letters written not by Paul to other people, and the Book of Prophecy and Revelation, which tells the story of the end of the world. So the New Testament tells the story of Jesus' life and the earth after that, all the way up to, in Revelation, the end of all things. And there's 27 books in the Old and 27 books in the New and 39 in the Old. And it covers the history of our faith and tells us God's story, right from the creation through the fall of man, through pain and suffering and what we had to do to redeem ourselves, and then it tells us of Jesus who came, who died and who was resurrected again and redeemed us through that resurrection so we can spend eternal life with God. And then it goes through to Revelation, which is the end of all things. So my title for today is Living in the Word. So what does it mean to live in the Word? Living the Word means making the Bible part of your everyday life. It's not just something we should drop into and drop out of again when you're feeling sad or lonely. It's something that should be with us constantly. It should be on our hearts all the time. So how do we do this? The first way to answer that question is to look at when. When should we do it? Personally, I believe we should be reading the Bible every day. Every day we should be getting into that Word. I get up really early, so I use that time. I spend about half an hour reading every morning. But I know mornings aren't for everyone. My day isn't complete if I haven't spent that time in God's presence. So I like this. For me, that's the best way to start the day. It's like a hearty breakfast that takes you through. But even better. Yeah, I like food. But it's even better than that. And that time just soaking in God's presence is, you can't describe it and you can't begin to understand it unless you experience it. But if I haven't done that, I just don't feel complete the whole day. I feel lethargic and down. There's just something not right in my spirit. So that's when I choose to spend that time. But I know people do it throughout the day and still get the same results. So whenever you have that time, and it doesn't have to be half an hour, 5 minutes a day, I promise, if from today, 5 minutes every day for the next month, you spend some time soaking in the Word, you will see a huge change by the end of that month. I promise you. You will really see the difference. It doesn't matter how long. Okay, so that's when. The second question is why? Why should we be reading it? Well, when I was studying this, I actually thought there'd be some verses that say we should get into it every day. And there wasn't. I was quite surprised. So if anyone knows of any, come tell me after. I couldn't find any. But what I did find was verses about why it's good, why we should be reading the Bible. So the first one is, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And that's 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. So the whole Bible, this whole book, is God's inspired word. Every word of this is what God wants us to know. He's the creator of everything, everything we can see, everything we can't. And these are his words. His spirit was in every single one of the authors. They wrote down what he told them to write down. And reading it and absorbing it is how we learn to teach others, how we learn to correct, how we train for righteousness, how we live righteously by learning what it says. It's our instruction book, but it's also our way to learn more about God, because it's him. He spoke it. If you have a conversation with someone, you know, you get a pretty good sense of who they are from that conversation, about what they're passionate about. And this is what he's passionate about. Us, the world, all in here. Everything. Okay? And through it, we become equipped to do every good work. In Ephesians 2:10, it tells us that God has prepared all good works in advance for us to do. And in Timothy, it says the Bible is the thing that equips us for those good works. So they're prepared for you to do. You just need equipping. And that's step one. Okay. Another reason? Your word is like a lamp to my feet, a light on my path. The word, the world, especially the one we live in today, is like a forest at night. There are so many branches and snares and roots trying to trip us up. Because that's the world we live in. Sorry, but it is. There's so many things that are trying to pull us away from what we believe. The only way we can get through that forest is with a light. We need that light to light our feet, to light our path. Because then we can see the branches, we can see the roots, we know what's in our way and how to avoid it, because we can see it. So that's another reason. Third reason, great peace have those who love your word. They love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. Who doesn't want great peace? I know I want great peace. But the only way we can get great peace is by loving his law, loving what he says. But how can we love and trust what he says if we don't know it? If we don't know what he says, how can we love and trust it? In Psalm 19, David says this, The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. Now, law, statutes, precepts, commands, decrees are all words that David was using for what he had as his Bible, his scripture, his Torah at that time. But they still apply to our Bible today. All of these things apply to that, and they're refreshing, it's trustworthy, it makes us wise, it's right, it gives us joy, it lights our eyes. All of these things are things that I want in my life. And if one book can do all of those things, I want that in my life. I want that book because I want those things. Yeah? Okay. So, out in the world, there are lots of voices that tell us how to live, what we should be doing. Even lots of voices that tell us how to get closer to God. Some of them are helpful, admittedly. Some of them help us with our life, help us move on. But a lot of them aren't. We can only evaluate which ones are and which ones aren't through the light of God's revelation, through His word, what He says, because that is the only way we can live, by getting closer to Him. That's the only way we can have a successful life, an enjoyable life. As Tony was saying last week, there's a lot of negativity in the world, and we need to change the narrative. We need to put God's narrative in there. But how can we give the world God's narrative if we don't know what He's said? We can't bring them what God's saying if we haven't learned ourselves what God said. So, living in the Word, specifically living. Many of us in this room are visitors. Maybe we go in daily, maybe we go in weekly. Most of us here will visit God's Word, whether regularly or not. It's familiar, we know it, we know where the Psalms are, we know where the Gospels are. We can probably quote a few verses. But visiting is very different to living. When you visit somewhere, you go in, spend some time there, then you leave and close the door behind you and go again. Maybe come back in a bit. That's not how the Bible's supposed to be. We're not supposed to just visit and shut the door again. We're supposed to live there. When you live somewhere, you adopt the culture, you start speaking the way they do, acting the way they do. And not out of choice, it's just you absorb it. Because you're marinating in it. I think Dave Connolly said a few months ago, we're to marinate in God's presence, not just dip ourselves in. And that marination only comes through spending time there. And when you close it, that's not when it ends. So, yeah. That's why. If you need any more reasons why, Psalm 119. There's about 170 different reasons why we should be reading it there. That's why I've been studying this mostly for this, and it's an amazing chapter. So seriously, when you read it, start there. It's unbelievable. Absolutely mind blowing. Okay. Where should we be reading in the Bible? Okay. The short answer is the whole thing. We should be reading every word in that Bible. It's all been kept in there for the last 1500 years, since about 400 AD it was made. It was first put together. And it's gone through some changes, but those 66 books have stayed the same for that time. So, there must be something right with them. But, what about Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy? What about them? Yeah, even them. We should be getting into them as well. Because, going back to living in the Word, it's like a house. Every book is a different room in that house. And in your house, you will go into every single room at some point. It might not be frequently. It might not be every day. You may go in there once a week, whatever. But you go into every room in your house. And if anyone's got a house big enough that they don't have to go into every room, can I come and live with you? Yeah. The Bible should be like that too. We go into every room. Maybe just for a little bit, maybe not as often as the others. The rooms that we spend the most time in are like rooms like the Gospels, the Psalms. But what about those less frequently visited rooms? They're still there. They're still important. But when we look at those books and think they're not relevant, they're just full of laws that we don't need to abide by anymore, There's nothing in them that could possibly benefit me. What it's like is it's like closing the curtains in that room and just putting boxes in there of your junk. Just putting all the junk in that room and using it as a dumping ground. And when we do that, the room loses its purpose. It loses the beauty of the room because it's just dark and filled with stuff. And we can't see what it was really used for. But, I mean, I went through this personally. I started reading Leviticus a couple of weeks ago. And I just went into it thinking, I'll get this out of the way and then I'll go back to Luke. It's a proper book. Let's go into the proper books again. And for 8 chapters, I just struggled through Leviticus with this mentality of, get it over with, come on, let's get through it. But I got to the end of chapter 8 and was just about to start chapter 9. And I suddenly got this real conviction that all scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is God-breathed. And I can't explain what it was, but I just felt that you need to pay attention to this. Look at what I'm actually saying here. That was God talking, not me. So I went into chapter 9 and started to really look. I said, Holy Spirit, show me what you want me to see in this. I started to really look at that. And sure enough, when I started reading it with that mentality, when I cleared those boxes out, when I threw open the curtains and let the Spirit's light in on that book, things came alive. It changed the way I read it. There was gold, there was gems, it was Psalm 19, it was as sweet as honey. It was more precious than gold. And that was Leviticus. So, you know. But I think a lot of us have got those cluttered rooms. And there's books that we've looked at and think they're not important anymore. I think God wants to deal with that today, that he's saying every book is important. Every book was written by me for you. You can take something from it. Okay, no, you don't have to abide by those laws anymore for salvation. But look at what else I say in there. It's not just laws. It's all sorts of things. Richard used something from Deuteronomy a couple of weeks ago. I think that was about the time I saw you use Deuteronomy and thought, actually, if he's using Deuteronomy, does that mean the other ones are still relevant too? So what rooms have you cluttered up? Is there any books that are coming to mind now? It won't apply to all of you, but it's speaking to some of you. What books have you cluttered up with your negative thoughts? And what have you lost the purpose of? Just make a mental note of that, and we'll come back to that in a bit. Okay. So yeah, remember that. And I think one of the most important questions though, yeah, what rooms have you cluttered up? One of the most important things about reading the Bible is how. How do you read it? I mean, I'm 19, it's been the last 5 years I've been looking at this, but I know for some people here it's been a lot longer trying to work out how to read the Bible. How can I read it? It doesn't make sense to me. Well, shortly there's no right way to read the Bible. Okay, there's no one way that works for everyone. I'm going to get that out of the way now. And it's not quick and easy. It's not generally, it can be, but generally it's not, Lord, let me enjoy this word, let me have this fire for your Bible, and then you do forever. It doesn't often happen like that. It can do, but it doesn't often happen like that. The one thing that will get you into it is commitment. You have to commit to your plan. So you have to purposefully, daily dip into it and soak there. Okay? Second thing I found really helpful is an accountability partner. When I first started this, my girlfriend and I, we started doing Bible plans together on the YouVersion Bible app. And that was really helpful because you, if one person forgets, then you just remind them. And having someone else to remind you is really helpful. So find an accountability partner. So if you forget a day, they can say, well, what happened today? And just not wanting to have to come up with an excuse helps as well, helps you keep going. So yeah, accountability partner. I'm sure there are lots of people here that will join with you, but it doesn't have to be here. Okay. YouVersion Bible app is great. If you've got a smartphone and haven't got this, get it. Because it's got thousands of plans on it. It's got videos, it's got every version in as many languages as you probably ever need. So yeah, get that app if you've got a smartphone. The third how is make a plan. Write the plan down and share it with someone. Because as soon as you do that, as soon as you make this declaration to someone other than yourself, I am going to do this, there's something in you that wants to fulfill that. Because you don't want to disappoint people, you don't, whatever it is, there's something in you that wants to continue with that. There are lots of different ways to plan it, lots of different devotionals out there. Again, YouVersion, if you've got a smartphone, they've got thousands of plans. You can work through them. You can work through them with other people as well. But if you haven't got a smartphone, UCB do a great one, the word for today. There's all sorts. Bill Johnson's got a few out, and there's a lot that have come from Bethel. One thing I'd recommend, it might not work for you, but for me, don't pick one with dates on. Don't pick a Bible plan with dates on, because then you feel obliged to follow those dates. But there will be times in your reading the Holy Spirit says, no, I don't want you to read there today, I want you to read over here. And then when you go back in, you find you've missed a few days and things don't make sense, or you try and catch up and it just doesn't work. So most importantly, go with where Holy Spirit leads. That is the secret of getting the most out of the Bible. There's no substitute for that. But get a plan without dates on. And then when you can just drop back in where you left off. And it's so much easier than trying to remember where you were. And, okay. So that's probably my number one piece of advice. Right. Another part of how is how do we prepare? How do we prepare ourselves to soak in God's word? I think there's three important parts to this. First, physically. How do we physically prepare ourselves for getting into God's word, for getting the most out of it that we possibly can? So number one, withdraw. Find a quiet place, find somewhere away from the noise of your life. It's what Jesus did. He got away from his disciples and the crowds that were following him and just went and sat alone somewhere. Make sure it's safe, but even 5 minutes in that place, I know a lot of people don't have a lot of time, so even 5 minutes in that safe place with the Bible will be better than nothing. Do more if you can. Don't just say, oh, only do 5 minutes, that's fine. But if you can't, 5 minutes will do. Second thing is take a notebook. And not just for the obvious reason. You obviously take a notebook to write down everything that comes into your head when you're writing, but also every distraction. When it's Aunt Vera's birthday in 3 days, you need to buy her a card. That will come into your head when you're trying to get into the Bible and it'll distract you. So write every distraction down and it just gets it out of your head so you can pick it up later. Okay? And then also when you're reading, write everything down that God shows you. No matter how small or weird, or even if it's not of God, just write everything down. Don't weigh it up, just write it down. Because weighing up comes afterwards. Don't do that while you're reading because it'll distract you. So just keep reading and write everything. That's physically. Second thing is mentally. How do we mentally prepare for what God wants to say to us? I think expect to be touched. It came up a few times this morning in the prayer meeting. We need to go into every time we meet with God expecting to be touched. Don't go in thinking, oh, I'll just go in and see what happens. Go in expecting him to meet you, because if you expect him to meet you, he will. He will be there waiting for you to show you something. But if you don't go in expecting, then you're not going to see him. You're going to miss him. You're just going to straight over what he wants you to, because you're not looking for him. Okay? Number two, again, going back to what Tony said. Honestly, I'd written all this before Tony came last week. He just nicked all of my points. I've found that there's no such thing as a bad Bible time. Someone says, how was your quiet time today? There's no such thing as a bad Bible time. One thing there is a bad heart attitude. If you go into it carrying the negativity, the anxiety of your life, then you're not going to get stuff out of the Bible, because you're going to be so distracted by everything else going on that you're just not going to get the most out of it. So if you've got that attitude, then don't bother opening the Bible. Okay? I'll justify that one. Just sit quietly and pray for Holy Spirit to come. Because he will. If you pray for peace, he will bring it. One thing I find helpful is having a few verses. I'm not going to read them out, but if you want to make a note of them while I'm talking. These verses are all about how he calms our anxieties, calms our fears, our nerves. And I would strongly recommend that you commit these to memory, because then if you find yourself in that situation where you just can't focus because you've got all this other stuff going on, just pick one of these verses and say it over and over in your head. Just think on that and pray about it while you're doing it, because in that, sometimes you'll get more out of that than actually spending time reading. Just that going over and over that one verse, you will see something new in it, but also Holy Spirit will bring you peace. Okay? There's no doubt to that. If you keep pressing and keep thinking over that verse, again, write down any distractions, but keep thinking over that verse, then he will come, he will bring his peace for you. Okay? Point 3 of mentality is check your motivation. Why are you reading it? Don't read it because I've stood up here and said today you should be reading it every day. That's not what I'm saying. It's not essential for being a Christian. Reading the Bible every day isn't necessary. It's not, you have to do it. But it really helps. I can personally say that over these last 8 months, my complete outlook on life has changed. I feel a lot more comfortable about myself, about God. I trust him far more. I worry a lot less, which is a huge thing for me. And if that can happen for me, it can happen for you too. So don't do it because I say to. Okay? But it does help. Don't read it looking for something that no one else has ever found. Don't read it looking for that interpretation or that thing that God's saying that no one else has ever seen that you can bring to someone, because that you're then looking to try and impress people with what you've read out of the Bible. And that motivation is just wrong. Read the Bible to see what God is saying to you today, because he will always speak into your situation now. That should be your motivation always. See what he wants to say to you about whatever it is, because he will want to say something to you about it. Okay? And the third thing of preparation is your spirit. How do you spiritually prepare to read the Bible? One thing that I found really helpful is positioning yourself to receive. That's number one. If we position ourselves to receive, saying, Lord, I'm going to take action on what you show me here, then you're going in with that mentality of, this is going to change my life. What you're going to show me, I'm going to use in my life. I'm going to apply it and change. Because then you're not just going into it to be motivated or made to feel better about things. You're going into it actively seeking God and wanting to see what he has to say to you today. Okay? Point 2, invite God. Invite him in to your Bible times. Don't just go in and sit there and open the book and try to read it, because that's just you then. Invite God in. Rick Warren, a famous American pastor, says this: one of the best ways to turn on the light of God's word is to pray God's word. Like Psalm 119:18, open the eyes of my heart that I see wonderful things in your law. You want to see wonderful things in God's law, right? Ask God to open your eyes to what he wants to do through your life. I read that about 2 years ago. I was in a really bad place at the time, but I remember reading that and it hit me so hard. And every time, or almost every time since then, whenever I open the Bible, I pray that. And every time I do pray it, Holy Spirit always shows me something. So some of you know that I do a bit of designing for Bible verses. So one thing that I've done is made a bookmark that I'm going to give you all after. And that's that verse. And you don't have to pray that verse. I'm not saying that verse is the secret to seeing what God wants to say. But just put it where your plan takes you, and let that be a reminder to you that when you invite Holy Spirit in, he will open your eyes. He will show you wonderful things in his law. Okay, in the scriptures, there are amazing things, and you will be shown something every time. Okay, so that's reading the Bible. What do you do afterwards? Well, after it, firstly pray. Pray about what you've read. If God's highlighted certain verses to you, or even if he hasn't, pray that what he's read will impact your life. In my opinion, the only thing better for our relationship with God than reading the Bible is prayer. Because that's the only way we can get as close to God. We can get closer to God through prayer than through the Bible. People who don't have the Bible in other countries have met God through prayer. And do pray at every opportunity. It's when you get into the habit of praying, it's amazing. Okay, 2, weigh it up. Weigh up what you've read, weigh up what you've written. By thinking, is this biblical? Is what God says, does what I've taken from that verse, does God say it somewhere else? Is it in line with his law? If ever you're in doubt, take it to a more mature Christian. Take what you've interpreted from a verse and ask them to pray about it, because they will. Any more mature Christian, you will happily pray about what you've got. And you can ask them to come back to you with, yes, I think it is, or no, it really isn't. Don't do that. But find someone you trust and take it to them and ask them what they think. Act on it. I mentioned it earlier. If you say you're going to act on it to God, act on it. Because it will change things. If you feel convicted about anything, if you feel led to do anything, do it. If you've weighed it up and it's right, do it. Because when you start implementing changes that you've taken out of the Bible into your life, it changes the way you live, it changes the way you walk, it changes the way you talk. You're immersed in that culture just by acting on it. Okay? Meditate. And that's what I was saying about going over the verse over and over again. Meditating on the Bible isn't about sitting on the floor, clearing your mind of everything for half an hour. Biblical meditation is focusing on God's light, filling your mind with what God's saying. So take a verse and just repeat that verse over and over in your head, like I was saying to do with the peace verses. And through that, you will often find new revelations in them. Talk about it. Find other Christians to talk. Actively go out your way to talk about Scripture. Whenever you have a men's group or a worship group or a women's group, whatever it is, talk about Scripture, because just that talking about it imprints it on your heart. It says in Deuteronomy to have it on your heart at all times. It says it several other places as well. Deuteronomy 6:6. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Always have it on your heart. Talking about it, talking to other people about it, puts it on your heart, it puts it in your mind, it cements it in you. And it means you can have conversations about what it means, how we can apply it to today. Okay, and keep your heart open. When you close that book, keep your heart open. Because closing the book isn't the end of what God wants to show you today. That's not it. He wants to show you far more than just what you've read today. He wants to keep showing you things all through the day. Because he delights in showing you more of himself. He loves it. He loves to reveal a bit more of himself to you, let you trust him more. And one of the ways he does that is through the Bible. And if he delights in it, then shouldn't we be delighting in it too? Yeah. That is all I have to say. It went a bit quicker than I thought, but that's okay. It's amazing how fast it goes when you're up here. Okay, so I want to end by praying, and then I've got a bit of reflection time. So, Father, I thank you for your amazing words and promises. Thank you that it's available to all of us in this room to read and understand. Spirit, I pray that you'll help us to stay disciplined in opening up the Bible every day and climbing into it until we reach the point where we are always hungry for what you want to say, and our days feel empty when your word isn't in them. For those of us who've cluttered up books with negative thoughts and attitudes, I pray that you'll release an excitement and positivity towards them. Even in those books, may we see wonderful things. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, so now I'd like you on your own just to have a short time reflection. We're going to play the song through twice. I'm just going to be quietly in the background while you just think about what I've said. While it's playing, ask God how he wants to meet you in his word. And ask him, what rooms he thinks you need to clear out of junk? What rooms you need to throw open the curtains and let the Spirit's light in? Okay, because those rooms are beautiful. They have amazing potential. When you start using them for how they're supposed to be used, you won't believe the results, because it's God's word. It's what God says. So even though it's old, it's still relevant. So just pray about those rooms, pray about those books that you need decluttering, and ask Holy Spirit to come in and help you declutter those rooms. Okay? Because then you'll release their true potential. So I'm going to play this song through and just think and pray about that.